the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Is this a crypto winter? And if so, when will it be over? Bitcoin is down 45% in Rand terms from its peak, at just above 2.2 million Rand. But are we at the bottom yet? Bitcoin has taken out the 2025 lows at $75,000. It's been in free fall while gold has surged above $5,000 an ounce. We may not be at the bottom yet for Bitcoin. Gold is down 12% over the last few days. No surprise there, given its parabolic run over the last few months. But where exactly are we in the crypto cycle? Previous bear markets have slumped 70 to 80%. Bitcoin is down, as I said, just 45%. But there are solid grounds for assuming that this bear market may not be as deep as was the case in the past. Large institutional flows will return at some point when there are clear signs of recovery. And I suppose retail investors will do pretty much the same. Well, helping us to find out where we are in the market is Blake Player, Valour's Chief Commercial Officer, and of course, no stranger to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast. Hi, Blake. It's good as always to talk to you. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, nice to be back here, Kieran. Yeah, nice to chat again.
Right. So give us a compass reading where we are in the crypto cycle. And one of the big questions is, why did Bitcoin underperform last year against expectations? You know, you probably saw these predictions. Bitcoin would end the year 2025 at $150,000. Some even saying $250,000. Well, here we are, you know, around the $75,000 mark. Not a very happy time for the Bitcoin community.
Yeah, it's definitely not been as exciting for the crypto folks as the gold bugs, at least from a price action perspective. It's been extremely volatile. And yeah, there's definitely been, a high degree of leverage that's been wiped out repetitively in the markets and a lot of stop starts to our Bitcoin and crypto rallies. I wouldn't say we're in a typical winter that, you know, we've seen in previous cycles where, you know, you go through a year or 18 months or even 2 years of generally, you know, downward and sideways price action. It's been a lot more volatile than that. We've seen, you know, big run-ups followed by liquidation cascades. And so it's had a bit of a different flavor. I think the cycle has become a lot more institutionally dominated, and the narratives that are playing out now are a lot more aligned to what you see in risk on, risk off type trading behavior, where if there are geopolitical shocks or market movements or market news that is seen as negative for risk assets like tech stocks, it tends to correlate very strongly with crypto. I think there's more than 80% correlation right now between tech stocks and crypto as an example. So it is definitely not behaving like gold at the moment, despite that being a previous narrative that has been a driver of price action. And there may still be a rotational trade from gold into Bitcoin, but we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I mean, are you seeing exchange volumes at Valour? Are they down because Bitcoin has fallen this far? There does seem to, as you say, there's a correlation, you know, between Bitcoin and tech prices, and that correlation is holding pretty firm at about 80%. But the volumes on the exchange, they do tend to follow the price, no?
Yeah, so, you know, we're not, our volumes on Valour particularly are actually quite insulated against price volatility because we do a lot of stablecoin trade as a big part of our overall business. So a lot of what we process is fiat and stablecoin transactions, which are a little bit detached from the underlying speculative derivatives markets. And this helps to insulate our overall volume. But if you look at the ecosystem outside of Valour specifically, definitely in prolonged periods of, you know, bearish sentiment and, you know, high periods of volatility, you do seem to see volumes come down as retail participation dwindles. A lot of retail participants get flushed out of the markets when they lose a lot of money. And as a result, you tend to see volumes declining.
Yeah, I mean, just picking up on that point about stablecoins, a lot of people are saying crypto's moved beyond the speculative hype. We're now deep into stablecoins and a new financial architecture that allows payments to be made faster and cheaper because the banking system relies on SWIFT. And, you know, if you're doing an international transfer, that can take a few days and it's costly. Whereas the stablecoin blockchain architecture handles that. It makes it much faster and easier. Is this how you're seeing it? Is the activity really switching towards stablecoins and payments? Because we are seeing the banks moving into this area and they are beginning to adopt stable coins. You've seen a lot of the local banks and a lot of the international banks doing that.
Yeah, definitely in the cycle, stablecoin has been a huge narrative. You know, you go to the major payment conferences, big financial conferences, and it's a huge topic of discussion. You have, you know, several panels, huge keynote addresses, all talking about stablecoins as a new emerging rail for movement of value around the world. And certainly we're seeing this with our institutional partners. We deal with a lot of banks and financial institutions that are really deeply exploring how they can build stablecoins into their operations and into their client experiences. And it's for sure been the killer app of the last few years. You know, more than $250 billion, I think, now in total stablecoin market cap that's flowing around the ecosystem. Instant settlement and 24/7 movement of money, which has not been possible prior to stablecoin, particularly in a globally interoperable, permissionless way to a large extent.
Right. Now, let's just talk about the year that was, 2025. There was a lot happened for Valour. You introduced iStocks. You introduced a lot of, you know, sort of quasi-banking type products or investment banking type products that, you know, I've often suggested that you seem to be moving more into the banking, traditional banking space than the banks are moving into the crypto space. Is that a correct way to phrase it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, Valour has evolved a lot over the years. And, you know, what started out as a Bitcoin shop, basically, against the Rand has developed into much more of a financial hub. And what we're trying to do is deliver financial services that people need and use in their lives, as well as businesses. And a big part of what we do is serve institutions. Trying to deliver those financial services on better, more global and efficient technology, which our hypothesis is that crypto and blockchain technology is going to be a big part of that. We also see banks coming the other direction, right? They're also starting to look into crypto products and services, and we're helping them do that. And we do see this ecosystem as something where we are doing things that we're really good at, and we partner with folks that are better at doing other things. And likewise, we see banks coming to us to help them with blockchain and crypto topics. And we work very closely with the banks, likewise, on handling fiat currencies. So it is a natural evolution where the space starts to become a lot more blurry, and the difference between a crypto exchange and a neobank starts to become a little bit more difficult to see.
Do you ever see the point where Valour might become a bank?
It's not impossible. It is not something we are trying to explicitly do right now. We are absolutely trying to offer more and more financial services and trying to be more useful to both businesses and retail beyond just pure crypto investing and trading. And you'll see that with products like iStocks, which are tokenized US equities.
Sorry, iStocks, not iStocks. Yep.
Yeah, all good. We have a number of other products. Our payment products are growing, and we're building a lot of infrastructure for institutions to develop their own products for their clients. So all of this is, you know, a natural evolution of what we started, and relies on the core ability to handle both traditional financial rails as well as up and coming modern rails like blockchains that we are native in.
Right. One of the things, of course, that's happened in the last few months is volatility, and the people who are in the crypto space love volatility, and because, you know, price movement is the thing that really attracts them to the market. There has been some talk that a lot of the people who are involved in the crypto market have gone on to markets like Polymarket, which is basically a form of blockchain based betting market. But are you seeing this volatility as good for your business?
Yeah, look, I mean, our trading part of our business does thrive when there is volatility. More people are active when prices are moving around a lot. Certainly the US and the Trump administration drives a lot of news that comes out of the blue, and that tends to drive very rapid price changes as people adapt to potential changes in policy. So that is largely good for the trading or speculative part of the business, where folks are looking to get access to price exposure. But volatility itself is not necessarily something that affects so much of our payments business or our infrastructure business and the technology that we provide or our custody business. So it's a little bit of both. You know, things like prediction markets, which is what Polymarket is a big trend that's happening. And there's, you know, Hyperliquid has also started to come out recently now with their own version of it. And I think a lot of this sort of technology is going to start proliferating and changing the way we do betting or gambling and you know, betting on outcomes that are not necessarily financial.
Right. Now, let's talk about the year ahead, 2026. A couple of points. I want to get your take. What do you see happening that's going to be significant this year? But I want you to address as well the regulatory side of things, you know, from, let's say, from a stablecoin point of view. Companies would like to adopt this because of what we've already mentioned. It's instant settlement. It's much cheaper than going through the banks. The banks are going to integrate this into their architecture anyway, and they're doing that. But are we there from a regulatory point of view? And are you getting demand actually from companies who want to maybe set up a Bitcoin treasury or some sort of stable coin treasury to help them in their international businesses?
Yeah, so a couple of things there. I think there are a few things that I'm looking at for 2026. So a big part is, you know, what is going to be the ultimate trajectory of crypto? Are we going to see a rebound in prices, which tend to bring in more capital, more investment, and it tends to unlock a lot of additional demand that is required to push this industry forward. So I do think that we may see a rally in crypto prices, as there might be a rotational trade out of gold. We've yet to see that, but it is something we're on the lookout for. I think in terms of the regulatory side, I think there's a lot of jurisdictions that we're still looking at trying to see what is going to be the ultimate state of things. You know, Europe's MiCA regulations are starting to come to a sort of an end game now, where those that were sort of grandfathered in and have been operating under VASP licensing are going to start needing to be regulated under MiCA. So I think the European landscape is going to change quite radically. We're seeing the UK come out with a lot of their own regulations and rules for operating in the United Kingdom. So we're going to start to see how operators change out of how they serve customers out of that market. A lot of crypto banking is based out of the UK, and UK banks, you're going to have to see how that affects things. And then in the US, obviously the introduction of the Genius Act and you know, stablecoins being formally regulated out of the US, I think is going to have quite a big impact into the stablecoin market in particular, which, as I mentioned, has been really a massive use case and application of crypto technology, and any changes in how that landscape works will have big ripple effects in throughout the industry. So I think very interested in how that develops. In South Africa, we're obviously always awaiting new regulations in terms of the Reserve Bank and the FSCA, which is, you know, that stuff is still being discussed between those two, as well as the payments regulators. So we're always expecting additions and changes to those regulators. So we'll hopefully get more clarity on certain things, and hopefully it's supportive to the industry. You have to be poised for anything, and we're ready to adapt to the landscape.
What about the companies in South Africa? Are they starting to, you know, develop any interest in stable coins or even, you know, Bitcoin treasury? We've got one listed on the ABC, you know, African Bitcoin Corporation, on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. I think that's going to be a little bit too disco for a lot of people. They don't quite understand why you would want to do that, and that maybe needs a little bit of testing. You know, Michael Saylor's strategy has during the bull markets, he looks like an absolute genius. In a market like this, you know, people really start to question, is this the right move? Where do you see this going from a company point of view?
So, you know, Bitcoin treasury companies has been a big topic, I think, generally for the last two cycles, with MicroStrategy and Arcore Strategy being a big part of the overall excitement and a big part of the buying. And we saw, particularly in the last sort of 12 months, a proliferation of treasury companies across assets, not just Bitcoin, you know, everything from Ethereum through to Dogecoin, there were treasury companies that were popping up. I still think it's a big narrative, but I think the hype has died down quite a bit, and it's becoming more difficult for these treasury companies to raise funds. There's just a lot more options now, and I think the utility of having an additional treasury company now is relatively lower than what it was when there were maybe only one or two choices. There are, you know, interesting use cases of a listed vehicle on a traditional exchange versus, you know, just simply buying spot Bitcoin and holding it natively. The big part of it is that it allows you to use your existing rails and plumbing that you might have into exchanges like the NASDAQ. You might already have existing collateral or securities lending arrangements against products that are listed on those exchanges. So for certain players that are sort of wired into the older way of doing things, accessing Bitcoin through those vehicles is sometimes preferable. There are also sort of other theses that people have. For example, what are these treasuries going to be doing other than just holding those assets? Are they going to become big lenders of reserve assets like Bitcoin in the future? And do they start to look more like a, you know, an IMF style, you know, major lender to other institutions who need those reserve assets? How do they monetize the crypto that they hold? I think that those kind of investment theses are playing out. In South Africa, again, we have one version of this that has been listed. I think a lot of time still needs to pass before we see, well, whether it's popular enough to generate scale. You know, obviously we're very supportive of folks that are trying to build these companies out, and you know, we stand ready to custody and supply liquidity for those companies, and we do for many already.
Final question: what can we expect from Valour in 2026? New products, or just more of the same, more growth, international expansion? What's coming?
Yeah, so there's going to be a bunch of things. I think on the institutional side, we've really started to focus more on building product that is really dedicated and specialized towards servicing an institutional demand and use case. So expect to see more products that are aligned with serving asset managers, banks, and larger financial institutions coming from Valour. We have a big emphasis on using stablecoins for payments use cases and helping businesses in particular with treasury management using crypto technology and stables. So we'll be making a big push into that area. We're also looking at a number of new African markets to expand our services to try and provide liquidity and a marketplace for digital assets. We'll continue to build in our offshore businesses as well in places like Europe and, you know, more generically in jurisdictions around the world where we serve a wide range of customers from over 80 different countries.
Terrific. Blake Player, Chief Commercial Officer at Valour. Thanks very much for joining us, Blake, and good luck in 2026.
Thanks very much, Kieran. Great to speak again.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.